Welcome to this week's sermon from Heights Worship Center. We believe God has something for you today. We hope this message encourages and inspires you.
Amen and amen. Man, Sister Sunny already started with my preaching because she kept saying, even in the beginning when she started the prayer, she actually said that she prayed and said that this will be fruitful for our transformation in Jesus' name. Well, guess what I'm going to be doing? We're going to be talking about the fruit today. So, Sister Sunny, thank you for starting the ball, keeping the momentum already from the beginning. And so, you know what, church? It's been a blessing the last 3 weeks. We've actually been just getting these treasures from the Holy Spirit, starting with, you know, I mean, Pastor Don talked about Jesus, you know, for us to be able to shine His light. Pastor Jaron last week talked about being representatives of Jesus. And then Andrea, like 3 weeks ago, talking about getting oily. All right? Well, today I'm going to, with the permission of my pastor, it's time to get fruity. By the Spirit, time to get fruity. Okay? Be fruitful. But what does that mean? Here's the thing. We are called to bear fruit, church, not to make it. There's a difference between bearing fruit and making fruit. To bear fruit is the outcome of you abiding in Christ and letting the Holy Spirit do His work of transformation within you.
That's right.
Making fruit is you just being focused on outward works without the inward transformation.
Amen.
Okay? So making fruit really focuses on, it's like works driven versus bearing fruit focuses on being Jesus centered. So what does that mean? See, the thing is, I think when we grow, and I really believe this is exactly what's happening. We saw it right here. In during worship, this is growth, guys. It is stretching James, stretching Josh, stretching Eli, and everybody else. It's stretching us to be uncomfortable with moments like that. James, thanks for being vulnerable, dude, up here. I remember as a young Christian, still young, but you know, not as young, but I remember I had this thing where it's like, man, I gotta stay strong. I'm the ate in my family, and I've always kind of had this thing where I have to stay strong. And then the Holy Spirit was like, nope. And I was like very independent. And the Holy Spirit's like, nope, you got to be dependent on me. And there was this one trip I remember to Peru, and I kid you guys not, I came back and I just cried all the time. I didn't used to cry. Even here at church. And I'm like, after that trip, after the Holy Spirit just did a work in my heart, I just cried all the time. So it's okay to cry. Worship team, it's okay to cry. Peeps, it's okay to cry. Amen. It's okay to cry. Because what we want is the fruit of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
To be visible in us.
That's right.
You know what's awesome? The Holy Spirit's awesome. Because Pastor Jaron, if you guys check out his Instagram, he's all about social media, by the way. Yeah, thank you, Pastor. Yesterday, you posted at Jaron LaPasaran on Instagram. So, you know, if you want to follow him. He posted the fruits of your labor. Squash, man. And he was comparing it to the size of his fist. You see, he's got a big fist and it's growing. And he said, I am a new gardener, right? And I am hashtag patiently waiting. Thank you, Pastor. And again, thank you, Holy Spirit. That it's like a visible, it's a visual of what the gardener, God the Father, is trying to do in us.
Hallelujah.
I mean, church, this needs to look like a farmer's market. I'm just saying. You guys, I was born and raised in the Philippines. I moved when I was 13. I didn't realize, I mean, I was so used to fruit. I'm talking all varieties and all shapes and sizes. I mean, down to like something this small is packed with flavor. And I miss it, man. We have this fruit called atis. It makes you work. Oh, for those of you that know. It's cherimoya. Had so much seeds, but man, I am willing to go through all of the process to get to the to eat that fruit because it's so good. And I've missed so much of all these fruits. Mango, man, it's just not the same here, man. Our mangoes are so much, ooh, so good, so sweet, so packed with flavor. And you know what? My first time going to a farmer's market in Hawaii, and I all of a sudden saw fruits that I'm like, wait a minute, this is stuff I grew up on. You know, like star apple. And I'm just like, ah, this is so good. Like, I was so excited. And I wonder if our God, if God the Father is excited when he sees the harvest that's produced in us. He is the gardener. He is the farmer. So this better look like a farmer's market. Right?
Amen.
Amen. Church, I want to point you to real quick to this phrase, Jesus changes everything. And I have a confession to make. The first time I saw this phrase, I was like, yeah, that's right. I am claiming that for myself. Jesus changes everything. Now, by the time when this went up, I was actually still going through a lot of difficulty when it comes to my health. I was in a lot of pain. And I was like, that's right, Lord, you're going to change everything. You're going to change everything about my pain. And I focused on Jesus changing my circumstance. But you know what Jesus did? Jesus used everything to change everything in my heart, to change everything in my mind and my perspective and my attitude, the way I handled stress, the way I handled pain and worry, the way I handled people that stressed me out. Let me repeat that. Yes, Jesus changes everything, but what is everything? Because when I first saw this, I'm like, that's right, you're going to change my health. You're going to change it for the better. And yes, God can do that because he's God. But perhaps sometimes he may not change everything outside of you, but he will use everything to change everything inside of you. What are you going through right now that you want to believe God will change? But perhaps our prayer should start with, Lord, this thing I'm going through, how do you want it to change me? Bearing fruit focuses on the who. That is who is. Because bearing fruit is about growth. It takes time. That's okay. It takes time to develop fruit, you know? There's seasons where you'll be in rain, seasons where you're in the sun, seasons where there will be pruning and it will hurt. He will cut away. But that's because it's all about developing our character first, more than your comfort. Thank you, Pastor Adon. You said that about a long time ago about when we were learning about Joseph. That it's about developing our character more than he's concerned about keeping you comfortable. I want to read Matthew 7:16 when Jesus was talking about identifying false prophets. Matthew 7:16 says, you can spot them by their actions, for the fruits of their character will be obvious. You won't find sweet grapes hanging on a thorn bush, and you'll never pick good fruit from a tumbleweed. Jesus was talking about false prophets here, right? That you can spot them by their actions, and that the fruits of their character will be obvious. But what about us as believers in Christ? Oh, you'll be able to spot us by our actions too. You'll be able to spot us by our words too, right? But do we do that? How's your mouth Monday to Saturday, church?
Come on.
Whoo, How's your scrolling Monday to Saturday? Yeah. I'm just saying. Huh?
Stop
reminding me. Oh. Dude, because I need a reminder too. Amen. You know? How's our scrolling on Sunday? Because Jesus is saying you'll be able to spot them, right? The false teachers, by what they do, by their actions, by the fruits of their character. Can we be spotted as shining His light through our words, through our actions, through our character? Are we able to be spotted? Will the fruits of our character be obvious to people? Right? But this is what should be obvious. Galatians chapter 5, 22 to 23 in the Passion Translation. Can you guys read it all with me since... Oh, Galatians 5, 22 to 23, if we have that. If not, that's okay. Galatians 5, 22 to 23 in the Passion Translation says, "But the fruit or harvest produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. There's joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue or goodness, faith that prevails, and gentleness of heart and strength of spirit." Is that like look at anyone in this room right now? Let me tell you right now, faith that prevails. Man, Donnie, I'm blessed by your faith. Whew. Joy that overflows. Pastor Darren, man. It overflows, you know? Your joy overflows. Gentleness of heart. Man, I gotta say, Tita Joy. I'm just saying, should be obvious. These things that's listed up here should be spotted in us as well. And the thing is, we may not be able to all get this right. Like, we know this. There's like 9 of them, right? You guys have, the youth and the young people have known this for Sunday school, right? We've started it like love, joy, peace, patience, God. I think we did this whole like series. We know it. But right now, I want us to pay attention to it because they're not just supposed to be like feelings of love, feelings of joy. Because we think, oh, joy, I feel joy when I'm happy. But actually, joy that overflows is something that you feel even if it's not going right.
Right.
You know, we may not be able to get this all right, but all 9 of these, Jesus gets right. So that means we're supposed to look like Jesus.
Right.
Representatives, shining His light, getting oily. Right? But I want to point this out. It says the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is all of these. So, it's a Holy Spirit production. Ah. Credit goes to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I'm sorry. You can't get patient on your own.
Right. Yeah.
I'm so sorry. You will fail. You can't be joyful on your own. You need the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It is a Holy Spirit production.
That's good.
All right? Jacob Jimenez.
Yes.
A Holy Spirit production starring Jesus. I know that Andrea here has been a producer. Andrea, where are you at? Girl, can you just really quick, please, tell me one role of a producer? Creation. Wow. Creation. Okay. You know what else? A movie producer is actually the one you answer to. Is that right, Andrea?
Yes.
Including the director.
Yep.
Wow.
Yes. Now, the director carries out the creative vision, but guess who has the say or whether or not that creative vision is good or not? The producer. They have veto power. A movie producer, it says in Google, they oversee all aspects of a movie from pre-production to production to post-production. And they include development, creation of the script, hiring the right people, putting together the team. Producers are involved in everything, including securing financing and managing budgets and making sure that you stay on schedule. All of those are, they do a lot of work. More than maybe the director does, right? But guess what? If the Holy Spirit is supposed to produce all of these things in our lives, the only reason it's going to happen is if you actually submit and surrender and yield to the producer. Amen. Guys, we can't try to strive and do things on our own and make fruit ourselves. We just can't. But if you submit under the producer, produced by the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, then these are possible. Amen. These are possible. I work in movie advertising as a trade, and we always have these legal thing at the bottom. If you ever notice in a poster, at the very bottom of a poster, there's this tiny type, and it's legal. And what it is they make sure there is credit to where credit is due. All of those posters will say who the director is, who it's written by, the music, everything. Because it's supposed to be where credit is due. There's lawyers that have to look over that stuff to make sure everyone that needs credit is there. And towards the end of that legal, it's always executive produced by. And it's all this. If our lives is a movie, who is it executively produced by? Who's making the executive decisions in your life? Who's got power and authority in your life? Because sometimes our distractions have more power and authority over us. Guys, he is our producer, and honestly, we all have to submit to him and yield to him in order to produce the fruit that will last, to look more like Jesus, because this all looks like Jesus right here. How do I know? Because that joy that overflows, that's not easy. But in Hebrews 12:2, it says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross. Right? Man, did Jesus know joy through the cross? Yeah. Because he looked forward to it. Did Jesus know joy? I mean, he said, why have you forsaken me? My God, my God. He was actually quoting a psalm when he said that. So again, it's like another fulfillment of scripture, actually, to show you that Jesus really is God. But in spite of people, like what Pastor Adon told us through communion, what he went through, did he have joy? Oh, yeah. Is it possible for us to have the same kind of joy? Yes. Not because of your circumstance. In James chapter 1, right? When Pastor actually spoke about that too. How can we consider it all joy? I'm going through so much pain. Right. Well, you're not going to focus your joy because of what you're going through. You're going to focus on your joy on the one who is the true source of joy. That's how you can consider it joy. Because it's an opportunity to grow and rely on the true source of joy. That is Jesus. I love that the Passion Translation actually, like, it's not just like joy, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, right? It kind of makes it an active thing. It's joy that overflows. Because you know why? It's not meant to stay within you. Right, right. That joy is not just about, again, feeling happy. I'm happy because you blessed me, Lord. That joy is supposed to overflow so that even though you're going through the hardest thing, man, you walk in a room and we see the difference.
Yeah.
We see that you're radiating with faith. We see that you're radiating with joy and it overflows unto us. When you share your testimonies, right? It overflows to other people. It says here, patience that endures. You guys know the word for patience in the Greek is actually never quitting. Never quitting. Patience is not just about, oh, I'm going to wait patiently for the, you know, right time, for the perfect timing. Patience is actually active trusting. You're not just like, okay, I'm going to wait, or wait anxiously. No, it's active trusting and never quitting. Never quitting. In my job, we have sometimes very challenging, not sometimes, all the time, challenging clients. And sometimes we are ready to go home for the day, and at 6 o'clock, they will call and say, we need this job done right now. And we have a joke between me and my coworkers. We're like, I don't want to do this, just quitting. So instead of saying, just kidding, just quitting. I want to quit. I'm done with this. And you know what? Sometimes with what we're going through, I just being transparent, sometimes we want to quit. But patience that's produced by the Holy Spirit is about never quitting. And then I'm not going to go through all of it, but I do want to talk about strength of spirit. And I see this a lot with Mom Rose. Strength of spirit. Most translations say self-control. But is it really the self that is in control? Because strength of spirit in the Greek translation actually talks about lordship.
Yeah.
Who's lording over you? Who's mastering your emotions and your desires and your actions? Whose control are you really under? With self-control, right? With strength of spirit. The fruit that's produced by the Holy Spirit has to, that strength of spirit has to come from Him. You know, when we're dealing with sin, for example, especially with self-control, I think, which is good, we try to do our best to control, to be able to like, okay, maybe I just need to put away my phone after a certain time, right? When if the phone is something that is a weakness to you, what you look at on the phone, whatever it may be. Okay, so you're going to set boundaries. Like, I'm going to turn in my phone to my parent by a certain time. Whatever it may be, right? You set your own boundaries. But if you leave Jesus out of it, you leave the Holy Spirit out of it, you'll be frustrated because you'll most likely fail.
Right.
If you're just changing your behavior and not letting the Holy Spirit be a part of the process, it's not going to work.
That's right.
If you are just changing your outside settings,
right.
I'm sorry, you need inside factory reset.
Because
our factory, I'm sorry, it's already been included, is a sinful nature. And what does the Bible say about that? So I say 5:16, Galatians 5:16, so I say walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh.
Amen.
Your job, first and foremost, is to walk with the Holy Spirit. I think sometimes we're so focused on what can I change about my situation? What should I change about my behavior? When really you should be focused on, Jesus, how can I spend more time with you? Jesus, how do I learn more from your word? Jesus, how teach me to pray. And I'm sorry, we will never be able to pray like some of our prayer warriors do. And that's okay. Sometimes some of the shortest prayers are the most meaningful. Like, you wake up in the morning and you're tired and you're just like, Jesus, I'm tired. Help me.
Yeah.
Help.
Amen.
That's it.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
But you make sure we have to walk with the Spirit. Because when dealing with sin specifically, sometimes I think we say, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, teach me self-control. But maybe, you know, teach me to say no to that. But maybe our prayer should be, teach me to say yes to you first, so that I can easily say yes to your good, to the best that you have for me, instead of just being distracted by anything less than your good. The way that you say no to the distractions is to be able to say yes to the best that He has for you. But this is, again, gotta be produced by the Holy Spirit by walking with Him. Can you guys, let me see, some of the youth here. Can you guys give me some of the biggest rivalries in movies? Like, or anyone that knows any, like, villain versus hero. Like, give me a big, really famous rivalry. Who? Batman and who?
Joker.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Batman and Joker. Who else?
Superman
and Lex Luthor. Classic. Classic. What else? Who?
Spider-Man
and Venom. Ooh, that's a good one. What else? Tom and Jerry! Yes! One of the best. One of the greatest rivalries. Tom and Jerry, right? How about the classic angel versus demon on your shoulders, right? But more accurately, that's called flesh and spirit. Biblically, flesh and spirit is maybe, if not, the greatest rivalry that we have, the biggest conflict, you know, more than Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker, more than any of these, like, pop culture references that we may have, right? Because we live it. Every day, guys, we live flesh versus spirit. But it says, walk by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. That's it. What does it mean to walk by the Spirit? You take steps with the Holy Spirit. Don't leave Him out. I love that, you know, when Sister Sunny, when you talked about, like, I lost my peace somewhere, you know? And you start to spiral in your thoughts and, like you said, get, you know, form, like, judgmental opinions and stuff like that. We get like that because we start to leave the Holy Spirit out. So where did you lose your peace? Go back. Retrace. Right? Where did you leave Him out? I know this because I tend to spiral with my... I remember when I was spiraling over my health. You know where I was spiraling? In Google. And I know that AI does it now, but, like, the symptoms, you Google your symptoms, you go, I was spiraling, guys. And then I was like, wait, I gotta stop. Holy Spirit, I left you. Sorry. He'll never leave you, by the way, but we leave Him. He never leaves you, but we leave Him. Holy Spirit, what is that one medical thing that I kept going to? Not WebMD. Yeah, I think it is WebMD. And I'm just like, you have cancer, you have this and that. I'm just like, whoa! Holy Spirit, where did I leave you? Oh, yeah, at the beginning of that scrolling. He doesn't leave you, but we leave Him out. Where did you lose your peace? Where did you lose your joy? Where did you lose your self-control? Where did you lose your faithfulness? Most likely, it's because the Holy Spirit wasn't there. You allowed the distractions to take over. You allowed your flesh to take over instead of the Holy Spirit. Strength of spirit is about whose lordship are you under? When we yield, you know, when we yield to the Holy Spirit, it's gonna hurt, guys. Sometimes it's going to take more than just like, you know, going to church and reading my Bible for the day. It might take more than that to be able for us to truly yield to the Holy Spirit. I remember, again, because what I do, like I'm a graphic designer and I do a lot of things with movies and media, I'm constantly like consuming media. And I remember there was this one time, there was a challenge for a fast, and I was like, okay, Lord, for the first 21 days of the year, I'm going to fast media. And at the time, social media wasn't like a big thing yet. So it's literally like there was no streaming. So it was just literally, okay, don't watch extra shows or movies or anything like that, right? And then towards the middle of that fast, the Lord's like, fasted for a year. Huh? But I work it. Well, obviously, I had to still do that. But meaning outside of it, what was my diet like when it comes to media? And that's what the Lord was really more focused on. Because I was so just like consuming this and I was getting, you know, like at the end of the day, honestly, sometimes I relax to a good, like now, I relax to a good food vlog.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right?
Oh, yeah.
Man, somebody feed Phil. Somebody feed Christine. Oh, my goodness. I love travel vlogs. I relax to it now. But back then, I got to put on a show. I got to put on a movie. And sometimes maybe there's inappropriate content in it. I was mindless. It was just going over my head. And instead of relaxing to, you know, with maybe the presence of the Lord, I was relaxing with my own media. And that's what
the Holy Spirit...
That's why he's like, fast it for a year. See if you survive. I did. Praise the Lord. But it really cut out a lot of the shows that I was watching. It did. But it wasn't to, you know, for this to be like legalistic, guys. It's not meant to be like, oh, yeah, I got to do this. Like a checklist. Like what Pastor Adam was saying. A checklist. It's our tradition. It's our religion almost, you know. But no, it was so... I was being pruned, guys. Pruning is a part of growth. Pruning is a part of walking with the Holy Spirit. Pruning is about cutting away your flesh. Amen? And the thing is, again, when we... walk with the Holy Spirit, we're really talking about what Jesus is talking about in John chapter 15. And this is going to be from the Message translation. I like the acronym. It's MSG. It's flavorful. John chapter 15, verses 4 to 11 and 16. And I want you guys to just follow along because I know like most of our Bibles are not Message translations, but let's take it in, okay? Let's read it together and take it in. Live in me. Make your home in me just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine. You can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. I am the vine. You are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is when you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. I have loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. I want to emphasize this. If you keep my commands, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done. Kept my Father's commands and made myself at home in his love. I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy and your joy wholly mature. You didn't choose me, remember? I chose you and put you in the world to bear fruit, fruit that won't spoil. As fruit bearers, whatever you ask the Father in relation to me, he gives you. I know it's a long one. That's okay. It's the word of God. It's supposed to nourish us. It's supposed to be our daily bread. Amen? And I love that Jesus emphasized remaining in me. Make your home with me. I think sometimes it's not enough that we make room for him. It's got to be the whole thing. You know, sometimes we let Jesus in our living room because it's clean, but we get to the bedroom and it's not. You guys know what I'm saying? We let him into certain parts of our hearts and not willing to go there just yet because we're not willing to surrender that. Pruning, by the way, could also mean cleansing. So yeah, he wants not just room, but the whole thing. Your whole heart. He wants everything. He wants to change everything within you to look more so that he could produce fruit that looks more like him. We're supposed to be looking more like Jesus to the world and to each other, by the way. Let's do that first here. Because Jesus said, if you do that, you will remain in my love. You will remain in my love. If you actually obey my commands. I mean, how are you supposed to know what you're supposed to obey if we're not reading this, right? If we're not meditating on it. Man, one of the biggest weaknesses that I have is, again, I spiral. I tend to be anxious for nothing. No wonder Jesus, I mean, through his words, said, do not be anxious for anything. But be what? Do not be anxious for anything, but in prayer, in supplication, give your requests to God with thanksgiving. So that his peace that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind. So man, I have memorized that verse because I know that's my own weakness. The moment I start to get anxious, Holy Spirit, I don't want to leave you out. You're right here with me. I don't want to leave you out of the process. But you know what? I had to keep that command though to not be anxious. When the Holy Spirit says, don't be anxious, don't be anxious. I think sometimes we like, what does that mean to not be anxious? Don't be anxious. Don't spiral, because that's what I do, right? That's what I tend to do. Let's not spiral. Don't worry. Instead, worship. Because worry is just, you know, it's meditative, it's meditation on something that's bad. Instead of, When you're worshiping, you're actually meditating on the goodness of God. When you're worshiping and you're surrendering and yielding to the producer, you're actually saying, okay, do whatever you want to. I'll make room for you this time. Again and again and again. You know, sometimes we may have 2 altar calls during service. That's okay because it's a Holy Spirit production. It's not a Heights Worship Center production. Amen. It's not a Pastor Adon production. It's a Holy Spirit production. So that's okay if we have crying people up here. It's okay that if we process our emotions during church, that's okay. You come here tired and weak and weary, that's okay because Jesus said, come. Come to me. We'll do that. I love that Jesus said that my purpose is so that your joy may be complete. So that your joy might be complete. And that joy, man, again, Jesus showed us that because he looked forward to the joy. You know, what is that joy that Jesus looked forward to? Having us together with him in eternity. He endured the cross because he looked forward to the joy that he had. And that is so that we won't be separated anymore. Amen? Amen? I want to read James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, which is going back to what Pastor Jaron has spoken about a few weeks ago. I don't know if it's up there. Yes, it is. Can we all read it together? Ready? One, two, three. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Let it grow. Let it grow. Let it grow, guys. When you're, dude, we were just talking about, me and Pastor Ardon, we were talking about, man, this week, we had opportunities to grow. This is, you know, a month after my surgery, my apartment got flooded. I had to call the fire department because my manager won't wake up. It was like 10 o'clock at night. And literally, there was a shower underneath my bathroom vent, and we were flooding, and the lights short circuited, and we were just afraid that it was gonna go all over the electrical, so we had to call the fire department. And the first thing my manager, when she finally woke up, I was like, "How'd you guys wake her up?" I was banging on her window. He's like, "We banged on her window." I think they just have a different level of banging, and when my manager came in, it wasn't like, "Are you guys okay? Are you guys, you know?" It was like, "Why'd you call the fire department?" I'm like, "Well, I was afraid there was gonna be a fire. I don't know." I was so like flabbergasted, shocked by the reaction of my manager. There were just so many things that happened, guys, throughout this week, and I was like, "What? How can I consider that an opportunity for great joy?" When most of my stuff, I had to get rid of a lot of stuff that was dirty. And mind you, this was a month after my surgery. I wasn't supposed to lift anything, and I was forced to. I had to lift things. So I was like, "Jesus, help. It's so hard to be a Christian right now. I want to say things to her." And I remained respectful. I remember texting my friend Priscilla. Priscilla, you're here. I remember texting her, and she's like, "Babe, it's okay. It's just the devil, like, trying to get to you." And I'm like, "That's not what I want to hear." Honestly, I was like, "That's not what I wanted to hear." I'm like, "Dude, be on my side." But she prayed for me, and it kept my tongue. Honestly, I believe that when I asked for prayer during that time, because when I was sharing this to some of my, like, you know, cousins and friends, they're like, "You should have said this and you should have said that." I'm like, "I could have, huh? But I didn't." I think that's strength of spirit. Being able to control my tongue. It's another level too, to control your thoughts. But it says, let it grow. So if you're going through things right now, if you're going through difficulties, if you're going through trials, you're going through some pruning, that's okay. Holy Spirit, the producer, wants to grow you. Amen. Wants to stretch you. Amen. And then I want to end with Romans chapter 8, 28 to 29. So we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together for good. For we are His lovers who have been called to fulfill His designed purpose. That was 28. Let's not leave out 29. A lot of us memorized 28. Let's include 29. It says, "For He knew all about us before we were born, and He destined us from the beginning to share the likeness of His Son." What's the point of having everything work together for good so that we look like His Son?
That's right.
Don't leave out that part. Because I think, again, we focus on Him changing and making our circumstances better. But you know what? If it's not good, He's not yet done.
That's right.
If it's not good, whatever you're going through, He's not yet done. And He destined us from the beginning to share the likeness of His Son. I want to, worship team, if I could have you guys come up. And if we could please play or worship with the song, I Will Make Room For You. Because really, that's the point of what we're supposed to do. So worship team, come on up. The point of this church is that we include the Holy Spirit in the process, that we acknowledge that He's the producer. We're not going to be able to do it on our own. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. Separated, we cannot produce a thing, Jesus said. But if we align our hearts right from the get-go, whatever you're going through right now, we're saying, you know what, God, I want you to be a part of the process. I need you to be a part of the process. I not only just want to make room today, but I want to make room every day for what you want to do in me. Amen. Whatever that fruit may be. So I pray that the Holy Spirit highlights for you. What is it right now? Which fruit is it that the Holy Spirit wants to work in me and work out in me so that I can look more like His Son? Jackie Hill Perry said this: God doesn't have to explain the season you're in or why He's allowed it. Jesus has already explained God in John chapter 1, verse 18. So even when you don't know everything, remember everything you know about Him. Even when you don't know everything, remember everything that you know about Him. And we know that He is love. We know that He is patient. We know that He is kind. We know that He is good. We know that He is gentle. We know that He is faithful. We know that He has joy that overflows. We know that He is Lord. So Holy Spirit, that's what we want to do. As we end today, Lord, we want to have You produce the fruit in us that looks like You. That looks like You, Jesus. And so right now, Lord, whatever we may be going through, the pruning process, Lord, this sort of battle that's going on inside of us between our flesh and You, Holy Spirit, we just pray right now, God, that You would teach us to say yes to You. You would teach us right now, Lord, to surrender to You and to yield to You however You want to do this. Because, Lord, we don't want to do it with just fruitless actions and outward ways, Lord. We want Your inward working in us. Holy Spirit, teach us to mature in You, to grow, even though we are having difficult times. That we would be able to consider it an opportunity for great joy because we get to connect with You. Holy Spirit, be with us, Lord. As we invite You, Lord God, not just to, again, do this for a Sunday, but Lord, how do we do this every day? How do we let You be the producer of our lives? How do we surrender that control to You, Lord God? Lord, illuminate right now. Reveal to us right now those areas, Lord, that really need for You to be there. We're sorry for the times we've left You out. We're so sorry, Lord. Forgive us for the times we haven't given up lordship to You. And so right now, please, God, give us the strength to surrender right now. We admit, Lord, we need You. We need You in this moment.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Visit us in person or online at hwcim.org.